Welcome to Praise God. I'm Arrested and Free with your host, Julianne Harris, a show based on the Word of God and the promises of God's undying love for you. Now your host and the sheriff's daughter, Julianne Harris.
Hello and good morning. It is December 15th in the year of our Lord, 2018. I'm Julianne Harris, and praise God, I'm arrested and free. I'm arrested by God's goodness, His grace, His love, and His mercy. And I've been set free from anxiety and fear and pain and discontentment and all the negative things that happens to us in life. I have been set free from. And a special thanks and shout out to my dad in northeastern Montana, who is a sheriff. So yes, I am a sheriff's daughter. You know, I've been talking now for a while about the law, which, you know, the law is a hard thing for a lot of people. And a lot of people don't want to talk about the law because it makes you feel condemned. It makes you feel bad about yourself. It does all this stuff to you. And that's what it's intended to do. But for some reason, the majority of the body of Christ is using the law as your basis to relate to God. So basically, you're thinking God is well pleased with you if you obey at least some of the laws of Moses. But you know what? Like I've been saying the last few weeks, and if you haven't listened, you need to go listen, because He's no longer judging you or dealing with you based on your actions, based on whether or not you obey a law. Praise the Lord, because now we are in the new covenant. So after talking for so long about the law versus the new covenant, I'm just going to kind of move into the full new covenant right now. And this is good news, folks. It's no longer the ministration of condemnation or of death. It is spirit and it is life. And this is what will change your life. It changed my life. I went to Bible school after living years and years and years of this frustrated, condemned, miserable life, wishing that I wasn't born again, because the people I was partying with and hanging out with, they weren't bothered because they weren't born again. But meanwhile, I thought God was upset with me, and all it did was just push me into sin. It strengthened sin, just like I talked about a couple weeks ago. If you didn't hear it, you need to go hear it. Just saying. So I'm wanting to talk today about how Jesus is the end of the law. I know I touched on it last week some, but Christ is the end of the law. So let's go there to Romans 10, verse 4. Romans chapter 10, verse 4 says, "For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believes." Do you believe on Jesus? Because if you haven't, you need to. Romans 10, 9 and 10 says that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. And then it goes on to say, "For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation." I'm going to start getting into these verses, folks, because this is huge. And I'm not sure about today, but in the upcoming weeks, you are going to be hearing about righteousness. So I'm not going to jump there today because I really want to, but I want to complete this idea of who we are in Christ, of the new covenant. We need to understand the new covenant and what happens when you get born again. What happens to you when you believe on Jesus? You see, I never understood it. And I lived a whole long, miserable 20-some years not understanding who I am in Christ. What happened when I got born again? I didn't understand that I am a spirit, I have a soul, and I lived in a body. So all I thought of myself was just what the thoughts that I thought and the bad things that I did. That was my identity. And I talked about that some last week. However, we are in a new covenant that is based upon better promises. This is going to be amazing because we're going to go to Hebrews, and Hebrews is huge on talking about the old covenant versus the new covenant. I think we have a gist of the old covenant, but we got to remember why God brought the old covenant, why he brought the law, and why there was wrath. You know, I used to look at the Old Testament and think, how can God be called love when he would do all these things? So I've covered this in previous episodes, but let's just reiterate, let's remember that God brought the law out of love. He needed to slow down sin, because if he didn't slow down sin at the rate that the world was going, there would not have been a virgin for Jesus to be born through. And he also brought the law to bring people to an end of themselves and go, whoa, the standard is so high, I can't do it in my own. And that's when God would say, yes, let me introduce you to my son, Jesus. It would usher in Jesus, who is the Savior. So God brought the law out of love for you and me, because he saw the end from the beginning. He saw Jesus coming and dying on the cross for you and me, and living so that you and I can live a victorious life, so that God can have relationship with us. You can have relationship with God, not based on your actions, but because of Jesus. Man, God is a good God. He loves you. He's loved you from the beginning. Hallelujah. Man, I'm preaching myself happy. But see, I didn't understand this for so many years, and I was miserable, folks. I just can't even describe to you the misery that was me. So getting back to Hebrews chapter 8, let's start in verse 6. So we're talking about how much better the new covenant is. The old covenant is passed away because Christ is the end of the law. We've read that. We just read it. Jesus is the end of the law on how we deal with God. So now it's a new covenant. Remember when I told you about when God brought the law through Moses, and all the Israelites said, whatever the Lord hath said, we will do. We can do it. That was a covenant that they entered into. God said, you do this, I'll bless you. You do this, I'll curse you. And they're like, no problemo. We can totally do it. I don't know how else to say this, but nobody can do it. God knew they couldn't do it, but yet they thought that they could do it. So that was the old covenant. Now we're in the new covenant, where all we got to do is reach out and take hold of the gift of grace through faith, and we are saved. So in Hebrews chapter 8, verse 6 says, but now hath he obtained a more excellent ministry, by how much also he is the mediator of a better covenant. He's talking about Jesus, which was established upon better promises. For if that first covenant had been faultless, it's talking about the old covenant right there, then should no place have been sought for the second. So if the first covenant would have been faultless, then there would have been no need for Jesus. But obviously, the first covenant was just to usher in Jesus. Verse 8 says, for finding fault with them, he said, behold, the day come, saith the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. Folks, we're living in this right now. Hallelujah. So let's keep going. In verse 9, it says, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day when I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt, because they continued not in my covenant, and I regarded them not, saith the Lord. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my law into their mind and write them in their hearts, and I will be to them a God, and they shall be to me a people. So no longer are the laws written on tablets of stone. No, we know, we have an inward knowing of what is right and what is wrong. In verse 11, it says, and they shall not teach every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord, for all shall know me, from the least to the greatest. For I will be merciful to their unrighteousness, and their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. Verse 13 says, in that he saith a new covenant, he hath made the first old. Now that which decayeth and waxeth old is ready to vanish away. Wow, praise God. You know, verse 12 right there says, for I will be merciful to their unrighteousness, and their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. Man, you guys, it isn't like God is, I want you to understand something. God is not a forgetful God. I mean, he isn't like, I can't remember. What sin did you commit? No, God is all-knowing. He's all-powerful. He's everywhere at all times. He's awesome. And it says he will remember them no more. Did you know that is a choice that God makes, is to not remember any of your shortcomings? He can only do that through Jesus, because Jesus paid the price for all your sins and all your shortcomings and all that stuff. And all that was the remission of your sins. All of that was done through Jesus and his blood. And so now God says, I will remember your sins no more. It isn't like he's not forgetting it. It isn't like he's forgetting. He's like, I can't remember. No, he chooses to not remember your sins. And you know, isn't it funny how we cannot forget our sins? I said last week about how when I came to Bible school, I had all these identities. I had all these fresh, bad memories in my head of things that I had done, things that were done to me, all this stuff. And all I could do is sit there and I would hear these awesome things and I'd be like, my goodness, all I could think about is all my sins that I had committed up to this point, thinking, God, they must be playing through God's head like a bad video or something. And no, God's remembering my sins no more. So why should I remember my sins? Do you see what I'm saying? Because the more we think about our sins, the more we think about our shortcomings, it's like we're more destined to repeat them. And we're never going to walk in the liberty that the Bible tells us about, which is in the Spirit of God. You know, our sins have been washed away. We are white as snow. It doesn't even matter what you did this morning because your sins are forgiven. You need to stop thinking about your sins because God's not thinking about them no more. That's amazing. He will remember our sins no more. Wow, that's good news, folks. I don't know how else to say it. You know, it changed my life. When I came to Bible school, you know, let me say this first. If you're not able to hear the rest of this episode, please give me a call or send me a text message at 970-919-0459 or find me on Facebook at Arrested and Free and send me a message there because I'd love to get you the link to this message so you don't miss it. However, when I went to Bible school, I've told you I had all these false images and look, I was done trying. I really was. I went to Bible school with basically two goals. And the number one, one of them was I had tried everything in my life and I had made a complete jacked up mess of it. And so I thought, I've tried everything, so I might as well know, you know, I knew that God had a purpose and a plan for my life, but I might as well try to find it, you know, like maybe I'll find some sort of joy and happiness and contentment. And so that was one goal, was to find my God-given purpose. My other goal was to not get kicked out because it was like one more thing that I was going to feel complete guilt and condemnation over. I had stopped making promises to God. I stopped saying, God, I swear I'll never do this again. Guess what? The minute I did that, it seemed like that's all I wanted to do. It's crazy. But see, once again, that was what the law was intended to do. The law was to strengthen sin, was to make sin come alive. And the minute I would say, God, I swear I'll never do that again, that's the first thing I wanted to do. And guess what? I always did it. And then what came next was condemnation and guilt. And I just knew that God was upset with me. So this is where I was when I came to Bible school. I had stopped making promises to God. And so I was partying. I still would drink and go to the bar and stuff. And listen, folks, I'm telling you this so that you can see the change that has come in me because of what I'm sharing with you. I'm just sharing this stuff with you because it has literally changed my life forever. I am forever changed. So let me go back to when I started Bible school. So I come to Bible school, my first year of Bible school, I was still going to the bar. And, you know, I lived with a roommate that was very naive. She really had no idea. I remember one night, there was a couple different stories. Either way, I don't really want to focus on it because, you know, it's not something that I'm real proud of because I'm looking back going, why? I don't really understand why I was making the choices that I was making because I feel like I'm so different. I see myself so differently. So anyways, when I was going to Bible school, I was still going to the bar at least once a week, you know, and partying and stuff and being who I saw myself as because I was done making promises. And so I was at the bar one night and I just remember it being like this dawning moment because I'd been talking with this gal and we were so getting along, you know, we were buying each other beers and, you know, she'd ask, well, what are you here in Colorado for? And I was like, oh, you know, just going to college. And then I would quickly change the subject. And so we just kept drinking. We were probably talking for like an hour and having great conversation. And she just would not let it go. She was just kind of like, well, what school are you going to? And I was like, oh, it's the school, up in Woodland Park. And then I would change the subject or ask her a question. And so finally, she wasn't letting it go. She was like, what school are you going to? And so I said, well, I'm going to Bible school. And this gal, I'm telling you, she looked at me. She looked at the beer that was in my hand. She looked back at me and she walked away. That was the end of our conversation. And it was like a punch in the gut because you know why? Because I knew I shouldn't have been doing it, but I was so done making promises to God. I was so done. So that was, it was like one of those minutes of, God, what am I doing? I'm making a mess of this. I don't want to get kicked out of school. I can stop drinking. I thought. So I didn't quite stop drinking, but I stopped going to the bar at that point. But it was like, what am I doing? Either I'm all in or I'm all out. And so it was a slow, progressive change. And it was hard for me to believe and understand how God could say that he would remember my sins no more. But once I started, I just would listen and listen and listen and go to class and hear all these amazing truths. And then pretty soon I started believing it. There's a difference between hearing it and knowing it, but actually believing it. And that's when I started seeing the change. And, you know, it wasn't an overnight change for me, but here's what was amazing to me is it dawned on me when I was out of Bible school. I think it was the first or second summer after Bible school. I can't remember exactly, but I was in San Antonio. I was living by myself in a apartment there. I had my cousin there and his family, but that was all pretty much everybody that I knew there. And I was sitting in my apartment one night and I was thinking, God, I'm just so thankful for who you are, for who you've created me to be. And you know, it was a hard time because I left Bible school and I was one to change the world. Yeah. And then like I couldn't get a Bible study going. Like nobody wanted to hear all these amazing truths that I had learned at Bible school that were changing my life. And so there was some frustrating moments, but at the end of the day, I would talk to God and I would just say, God, thank you so much. Thank you for your goodness and thank you for where I'm at. And it was like this dawning revelation of how much I had changed. Because get this, any time before in my life, had I lived by myself with nobody around, nobody to monitor me, nobody to answer to, nobody to, I don't know, be a conscience, so to speak. But it dawned on me that I could do whatever I wanted to do. And the last thing I wanted to do was all the things that I did before I went to Bible school. I mean, like, I could have went to the bar. I could have picked somebody up. I could have probably found somebody that had some pretty good drugs. I could have done all of that. And it was like, instead, on a Friday night, I'm sitting in my apartment praising God for his goodness. And I was like, wow, God, I have changed so much. You know, it's amazing. Like when you're little and you're growing, you don't know how much you're growing. You know, it's the people that you see every 6 months or every year. They're like, oh my goodness. Well, that was for me anyway, because I'm pretty tall. So I grew rapidly and at a steady pace. And so it's the same way in the kingdom of God, folks. This will change your life. Understanding that God is not mad at you. God is not remembering your sins anymore. So you need to let them go. You need to stop. You need to stop. Now, there's some sins that, yeah, people are going to throw back in your face. I'm sure if I bumped into some people from my past, it would come back in my face very abruptly. But here's the thing. They could throw any of it at me. I'm not going to deny anything that I've done in my past because I am not what I've done. I'm a child of God. I don't know how to explain it other than this will change your life. Understanding God is not remembering your sins anymore. And here's another verse that I want to go with. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17 through 19, I want to read that to you. It says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. You are good with God. That's reconciliation. You are reconciled. You are, oh, that's good. Verse 19, to wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. The part that I'm really wanting to focus on right there is how it says, he's not imputing trespasses unto us. God is no longer imputing your trespasses to you. You know why? Because he put all punishment for sin in the body of Jesus. All punishment for sin. And you know, we need to talk, I feel like I need to talk about spirit, soul, and body more. Because the beginning of that says in verse 17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. That is your spirit, folks. Because you know what? If you're not very smart when you get born again, you're not going to be very smart after you get born again. If you are living a life of sin before you get born again, a lot of times you are going to still be stuck in that sin because you sin in your body and your mind. But your spirit is new. Your spirit is brand new. And guess what? Because of that, God is not imputing trespasses to you any longer. Hallelujah. And that is what it means to be right with God. And that's what it means to be righteous. And that is going to be what I'm going to start focusing on. I wanted to just clarify and go over once again the new covenant. And I'm going to talk about it a whole bunch more because you can't understand righteousness without understanding the new covenant. They go hand in hand. And a lot of you are probably thinking, righteousness? What? Well, I'm here to tell you, if you've believed on Jesus, if you have confessed Jesus as your Lord and Savior, and you believe in your heart God raised him from the dead, you are righteous. Yes, you are righteous. I know some of you are like, no, that can't be so. Well, it is. So I'm coming to a close once again this week, and I have a question for you. My question this week is there something that someone has done to you, a trespass per se, that you just can't let go? You know, the Bible says you should forgive, but a lot of times we don't forgive. And how you know whether or not you've forgiven somebody is when you think about that, you get a negative feeling. Because if you do, you could possibly be an offense. Either way, what has happened to you? What trespass has happened to you that you just can't let go? Because God remembers your sins no more. God is not imputing any trespasses to you. And you have that ability in your spirit. Most of us don't even realize it. You have an ability to let it go, but I want to hear about it. I want to hear about what's happened to you and what you can't let go. So give me a call at 970-919-0459. You can text me there or go to my ministry website and send me a message there at juliesministry.org. That's juliesministry.org. Or you can go on to krdo.com. Click on radio, click on podcast, and then find me there under Praise God, I'm Arrested and Free. And so I just want to leave you with a scripture like I do every week, and that is Hebrews 8, verse 12. It says, for I will be merciful to their unrighteousness, and their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. That's how God is, folks. And when you've believed on Jesus, he is remembering it no more. So don't forget to tune in next Saturday at 6 a.m. on KRDO News Radio. And have an awesome week. We'll talk to you then. Bye.
I know you are the reason why. Reason why the world's so beautiful.
The preceding was a paid program on KRDO News Radio. KRDO News Radio does not confirm nor deny the validity or accuracy of the information contained in this program. And the views expressed do not necessarily represent the views or opinions of the staff and management of KRDO News Radio.
You are the reason why the light shines all around.